There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 804, September 16th, 2019. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Knights in white satin coming this weekend. And after the loving and racing, we will find out if Moody Blues will continue in the Sebastian Vettel camp. Now back to Mr. Rogers and his Spanish guitar.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, are we being unfair to Vettel? Could Fernando do better? Renault hints at an exit date. And Aldo Costa is leaving Formula One. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Anything over $100 gets you a coffee cup, a sticker, and a picture of me. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. Thank you for asking. Hope all is well on the left coast, too.
Of course, we have Gavin Newsom.
That's good. That's good. But this 2 weeks between Monza and Singapore is pretty painful.
We'll get over it.
Yes, it's coming soon. And you know, I'll tell you, man, whatever podcast or video cast you go on YouTube or anywhere, man of the moment is Charles Leclerc, and poor Sebastian Vettel has become Rodney Dangerfield of racing, getting no respect. And for even Mr. Luca Montezemolo, you know, Ferrari had a big 90th anniversary celebration in Milano. A lot of people showed up there. And Luca di Montezemolo was also there. And he said that Leclerc reminds him of the great Ferrari legend, Niki Lauda. And of course, Lauda was very young when he went to Ferrari. And Luca was, I think, in his mid-20s when he was put in charge of the racing team in those days. So it's pretty interesting. And this is what Luca had to say. And I quote, "With Ferrari, of course, it's different. He makes very few mistakes. Like Niki at the beginning, he was only conscious why he made the mistake and how not to repeat it. I think he is a very intelligent driver, very quick. Not only on one lap, but also in the race. I think he can maybe the best representative of new generation of drivers. It's very important for Formula One." End of quote. And you know, it was with Montezemolo that your hero, your Dios, had a falling out after telling the media that he wanted somebody else's car for his, as his birthday present. But that's all in the past. And pretty soon we'll be in the dust of the Dakar Rally. Are you buying all the hype? I am, about Charles Leclerc, sir.
Well, how can you not buy the hype and drink the Kool-Aid? Of course, because it's simple. The performance is visible, and it's definitely impressive. The other side of the coin is, are we being unfair to Vettel? I mean, this young whippersnapper comes in, and he does what we didn't think was possible. Not only rattle the cage, but make Vettel look like an old man river.
Some other podcast called Sebastian Vettel, the new Rubens Barrichello of Ferrari team.
Wow. Rubinho. That's exciting. As long as if Vettel starts complaining about hit-go brakes, then then we know we got a problem.
Man, look at how the Italian media has come down. Italian and other media sources have come down on Sebastian. La Stampa, which is a very well-known newspaper in Italy, this is what they said about Sebastian. The swan has become the ugly duckling. Isn't that pretty brutal?
That's Formula One now, sir. It's not for children.
Yeah, it's not even calling him a Peking duck, which can be very tasty if you go to P.F. Chang. But ugly duckling is pretty brutal, I think.
Well, the big laugh is they bought him a 1987 Citroën de Chevaux.
Yes, and the Spanish newspaper Marca, they were also very nice to Sebastian, saying Leclerc is sending Vettel into retirement. Now, talking of Vettel retirement, do you think this guy will go and drive? There's no room for him at Red Bull or Mercedes. And even if there is room, the people who are numero uno are not going to give him any room to win races, okay? So do you think this is a guy who might go to a struggling McLaren or a struggling Renault just to stay in Formula One?
No, he'll go only one place, Red Bull.
No, I don't think he's going there. But I think he would retire before he starts driving for non-winning races, non-winning teams like this day and age, Renault and McLaren or Force Canada or whatever they are called by then. Now, there is another comment, question from another very well-known Italian newspaper, Corriere dello Sport. And they're saying, Vettel's future at Ferrari is at risk. Does he really want to stay another year? I think he will stay another year with Ferrari and then say, you know, ciao, ciao. You know what will be really, really bad? The coming tracks will probably favor Mercedes and Red Bull, but what will be really bad if the season closes out with Charles Leclerc a couple of wins or three wins and Seb zero? That will be not good.
And it doesn't matter really, because your lucky friend, your buddy, is winning. He's going to have the championship.
You mean your new favorite driver, Lewis Carl Hamilton?
Oh, my buddy.
Yes, and that's the way it goes. Now, Sunday, we have the Singapore Grand Prix. Looking forward to this, senor?
I am, but I'll be out of town celebrating 100 years of Citroën, getting the old Traction Avant, La Reine de la Route, ready. We're going to drive down to Hertz Castle, where the newspaper magnate has invited all of us to celebrate 100 years of Citroën.
Oh, really?
Exciting, isn't it? Charlie Chaplin's going to be there.
Have you ever been to the Hertz Castle?
No, I have not.
I've been there a few times. Very, very impressive. And, you know, it's in a town called, or near a town called Saint-Simeon. And what is so interesting, Brian Ferry did a song about the Hertz Castle without ever visiting there, at least at the time of composing the song. And the song is called Saint-Simeon. Very, very nice tune. You got to check it out when you get a chance, Mr. Rogers. Okay, now, both LCH and Seb have won this race four times each. But the night race already has dark clouds hanging over the new number two at Scuderia Ferrari. Last year, Lewis won from pole position and Seb was third behind Max. On paper, Ferrari drivers don't have the high-speed advantage they enjoyed at Spa and Monza, so talk of the town is it could be a battle between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, who will be very eager to bounce back from almost a no-show appearance in Monza by his own standards, which are very pushy and shovey. Monza was the first time this year, Mr. Rogers, that LCH has gone two races without a win. So what a season he is having. Both Bottas and Seb will be interested in singing redemption song in Singapore. Seb has not won a race since Spa last year, which is absolutely mind-boggling given his pedigree, your favorite word, and the fact he's riding a prancing horse. Last time Bottas won a race was in Baku in April, and since then his teammate has won six races. So these are very tough times for both Seb and Bottas. Now, as we all know, Singapore was Formula One's first night race and starts at local time 8 p.m. And even then, it is extremely hot, and I'm told so is the food, but very delicious. And we do expect another delicious Grand Prix, since we have been spoiled by the last several races, which have been outstanding, all of them. Singapore will be the first street fight between Max and Alexander Albon, and I'm really looking forward to this. So far, Albon has done a decent job against Max, which is no mean feat. If he can stay within half a second of Max in quali and in race, then I think it will be a very impressive job on his part. One thing you definitely do not want to do is finish a lap down on Max, or Dr. Marco will get his finest from Vienna Woods machete and go chop chop. And just for your sake, Mr. Rogers, it will be nice to see if Renault can continue the good form they showed at Monza in the last race. Hopefully, I'm hoping that Nico Hülkenberg will get his first podium after all these years with Renault before leaving the team at the end of the season. And let's not forget, Renault won the inaugural race here in 2008 in very special circumstances. What say you, sir?
Well, you know, I hope Nico Hülkenberg will see a podium in our lifetime, certainly. Renault has been looking pretty good, I have to admit, and it's interesting because they have hinted to not Brexit, but Rexit.
You mean they're going to bail out of Formula One?
I believe so.
Why do you say that?
Because I have read between the lines. I've talked to some of my friends at Renault, and it doesn't look good with the problem with Nissan, Goshen. People have been overpaid. Now they want to wring back the reins to become a little bit more conservative, which means shutting down Viry Chantillon.
You know what would be interesting if they sell this team to Flavio Briatore?
You know, that would be great, except for one thing.
Which is?
He's too old.
Oh, no, he still can make things happen. And it would be amazing. He buys the team and he brings back Fernando.
You're a funny man, Nasser. Super funny.
Yes. Possibilities are endless in the world of Formula One. So, any prediction for Singapore, sir?
Oh, it's simple. Charles Leclerc will get pole and win the race. And Lewis Hamilton will become bitter and cynical because the camera is no longer on the Compton kid.
Yeah, but he might pick up his sixth championship, so it will be all fine.
Yeah, but, you know, championships with no competition. Thank you. Thank you very much.
He has a teammate. There is competition.
He does have a teammate. I agree.
Yes.
I mean, they could switch. Why don't we give him Vettel and Bottas could go to Ferrari?
Yeah. Okay, starting with the Singapore Grand Prix, Haas F1 will no longer be rich. This story has now come to an end, according to the team's press release, on happy terms. I never understood this arrangement. Gene Haas has all the money to go NASCAR and F1 racing, and they do a deal with a phantom better than Red Bull product. And this is the lesson from this long and bearded hoax. If your potential sponsor is getting sued for their logo, before you taste or test their product, get on the Dion Warwick program and walk on by. I mean, this really was a complete disaster in terms of, I think they paid like $5 or $6 million, and Gunther Steiner is now looking for the Jacoby and Myers office in Banbury to take him to court. Your thoughts on that ill-advised sponsorship agenda?
You know what? I think it made Rich famous. I mean, to be honest with you, I will say that I had never heard of this company before.
No, I had never heard of him. And when I was at Austin last year, I saw Mr. William Story and Claire walking, you know, up and down the paddock lane. And I thought, you know, hey, I mean, when was the last time Claire said no to millions of dollars? And then I was very surprised when a few days later, their sponsorship arrangement was announced with Haas. But, you know, easy come, easy go. Now, it will not be a surprise if Haas makes an announcement who their second driver will be in 2020. Apparently, Pascal Wehrlein was trying to get back into Formula One through the second seat at Haas. And news is also expected soon from Williams about who will replace Kubica. Nicholas Latifi from Canada, who is currently running second in Formula 2, is the most likely candidate. I think in Singapore, the racing world will be focusing on Seb as to how he will do versus his teammate. And if Charles can do a Danny Rick on Seb and go 3-0, which we were just discussing, then I think it'll be very, very bad for Mr. Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, I completely agree. Really, if anybody needs to win a race now, it's Sebastian Vettel.
Oh, yeah. More than Bottas.
Much more than Bottas. I mean, his whole credibility is on the line. Bottas, hey, he makes a great vinaigrette. He has nothing to worry about. But Vettel, you know, he is in big trouble. I think in the eyes of everybody, the people of Germany, his friends, I mean, a lot of people are wondering what has happened to Sebastian Vettel.
You know, I was thinking about this situation. One has to keep in mind, he came in Formula One basically towards the tail end of 2007, right? So he's been there for over a decade, and in a competitive environment, sooner or later, the young guns or the young Turks will take over, and these things will happen. It happened to everybody, so... But for me, as a lifelong motor racing fan, I'm always very, very sad when I see legends of the sport put themselves in a situation where they are just, you know, Rubinhos or Bottas.
Yes, it's sad, but that's why we call it a sport.
Yes, and it's better to go out on top like Alain Prost did, like Jackie Stewart did. But, you know, to each his own, and let them roll the dice and see how long they want to race. Okay, now some good news for fans of Williams F1, and of course I'm one of them. It's one of the most important teams in the history of Formula One. They have signed a contract with Mercedes for engine supply till 2025. Nice to know Claire will not be singing I Am a 1 in 10 and signing UB40 forms in the next 5 years. But the flip side of the coin is Williams Formula One team has posted a pretty big loss for the 2018 season, and also running in the red this season. Now, check this out. Last year, they were bottom of the barrel in the Constructors' Championship. And on top of, they lost big money from Sergei Sirotkin, Lance Stroll, even the big sponsor Martini went away. So they recorded a loss, operating loss of £16.8 million. Which is, I would say, around $20 million. So that's a pretty big hit, having previously made $0.2 million profit. Interesting. And that's in pounds. The team generated a revenue of £46.3 million in the first 6 months of 2019, which is down from £60 million same period in 2018. So, your thoughts on Williams' financial situation, fiscal situation, and most important, performance situation?
Well, Toto has a controlling interest in Williams, and as long as Toto has that control, I think Williams will be able to survive, and they do a lot of activities outside with Williams Engineering. So they'll survive, and they'll always have mediocre drivers who are pay drivers. Like I've said so many times, they have the Mercedes package, yet no delivery.
Yes, and it's amazing. Remember when Massa was on pole in Austria not too long ago?
Of course.
Yeah, and I really thought when this guy, well, I don't remember his name right now, who came, Paddy Lowe, when he came from Mercedes, and he had started at Williams, and he had the pedigree, and I thought he would bring some of his cronies. But man, that thing just went from bad to worse. I mean, that was unbelievable what happened in preseason testing and how the car has been. But, hopefully Nicholas Latifi will bring another $20-30 million and maybe they can make it to Q2 on a regular basis.
That would be pretty exciting, and, you know, hey, you can't win them all, right? I think they'll be fine. So why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come back with MM after this brief message.
Our shout-outs last week, let's get through them now. The podcasters at F1Weekly.com.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Karachi Kid himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And the IMSA sports cars were in your neck of the woods, Laguna Seca. Did you get a chance to go there?
No, I did not, sir. Some of us actually have to manage the Palatial Studios.
That is good, but I understand you're going to the IndyCar finale there.
I'm scheduled to go. What happens, we don't know. But, boy, that Porsche crash up against the barriers was gnarly. Whew! Machismo!
Yes. Okay, now we shall start Motorsports Mondial with MotoGP. Mark Marquez won the race at Misano, taking the lead in the closing stages from your fellow Frenchman, Fabio Quartararo, who was looking and leading for a long time and was very much hoping to get his first win in MotoGP, but he's still very happy that he got a chance to duke it out and a clean, good fight with Marc Marquez. So Marquez was the winner once again on a Honda. This season for Marquez is like the season for Lewis. A bad day is second for him. Otherwise, he's just going to win and, you know, get his another championship. World Rally Championship, more good news for you. A Turkish delight for Citroën as they finished first, second in the Turkish rally. Sebastian Ogier was the winner. DTM René Rast won the championship for the second time in 3 years over the weekend at Nürburgring. And now, this is very interesting. The final race is at Hockenheim Ring next month. And believe it or not, one of the drivers competing will be Jenson Button in a Honda NSX. Did you know that, Senor?
Yeah, but that's not DTM.
No, it is a DTM race. See, what they are doing, the DTM, courtesy of Mr. Gerhard Berger, and they've been working on this for a few years. They are trying to make the rules for the DTM, the Japanese Super Touring Series, pretty much the same, so cars can compete in both rounds. Not, of course, they're not going to do in all the rounds. So some of the cars from Japanese GT series are going to race in the final race, and some of the DTM cars will go and race there. So it's good to bump up the field, and who wouldn't be excited in seeing Jenson Button in a DTM race?
So exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, apparently, Robert Kubica, his management is talking to Audi as he may drive in the German touring car series. And for, I don't know why, but they're also looking to change the name of the series. I don't know, turn it into more of a international touring series or whatever. But these cars are beautiful. They look very nice. And I'm very disappointed that Mercedes bailed out to go Formula E. But it's still a great series, and I do enjoy watching on YouTube very much. So that's some of the racing action from the weekend. Now, sir, come to a little news item. Racing Sons from the Land of the Rising Sun. Of all the Japanese drivers that came into Formula One, who do you think was the best?
The Rising Stars?
No, of all the Japanese drivers who have come into Formula One, who do you think was the best?
That's a tough one. Takuma Sato, of course. Machismo.
I would say Kamui Kobayashi.
Yeah, he was exciting, especially in that Toyota, and everybody was going, wow!
You remember his first race in Interlagos?
Of course, everybody remembers.
Yeah, that was very, very impressive. Okay, the Monza race weekend was very impressive for a Japanese driver. Nobuharu Matsushita or Matsushita won the F2 feature race, which is very impressive. Yuki Tsunoda won the second F3 race, and on his first European weekend, this kid by the name of Toshiki Oyu won both races in the Europe Formula Open at Silverstone. With Honda supplying engines to both Red Bull and Toro Rosso, it is only a matter of time before we see a Japanese driver again in Formula One. It was through Honda that Satoru Nakajima and Takuma Sato made it to Formula One, and through Toyota, Kazuki Nakajima and Kamui Kobayashi also made it to F1. I think this guy, Nobuharu, is up there in age, so I'm not expecting much from him. And this Toshiki Oyu, he needs some time. But this Yuki Tsunoda kid, who won the F3 race, he is looking pretty feisty, and it'll be nice to see another driver from Nihon in Formula One, competitive driver in Formula One soon. Oh, sir, here, this is trouble in paradise. Gunfight at the NASCAR Corral. NRA is not elated with NASCAR after your favorite series decided not to allow certain types of firearms to be advertised through racing sponsorship. The National Rifle Association is claiming they will take away their members from the stands and from in front of the screens also. I don't know about you, but man, I'm going to miss the AK-47-500 at Shenandoah Speedway. Your thought on this issue?
Well, you know, the NRA, hollow point ammunition, what does that have to do with racing?
Well, racing is all about big money, man. Bring the money and watch the show.
And leave your gun at home.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll see how this thing works out. Now we come to JV and his pet peeve. Jacques Villeneuve has an opinion on everything and looks like Nico Rosberg is also on the same track. But Nico is trying to be careful now because he got a lot of flack for some of his comments from one of the races not too long ago. So JV, his mantra on what is wrong with modern motorsports. And this is what he has to say. And some of it I agree. This is what he said, and I quote, "There are two things I hate in the modern F1 world. First, the simulators. Instead of testing, the pilots are doing a simulator week. When they arrive on the circuit, they behave as in the simulator. There is no longer this perception of risk and danger. The second problem is the asphalt areas. The pilots say that in any case, there is asphalt and we can take more risk. Unlike gravel or sand, it does not allow the car to stop quickly after an accident. This creates a false sense of security." End of quote. You're at two bits on this, senor.
Hey, let's face it. He's absolutely right. These kids are in simulators. We have no more testing. It's a laugh. And I agree. Too much runoff. Let's get back to kitty litter where you pay the price for making a mistake. See, that's the biggest problem is with all the millions of dollars in advertising, we want less mistakes because once a car is out, he's out and that advertisement doesn't stay around the track. It's all about the dollars and I understand that, but let's get back to kitty litter and dirt.
Yeah, then if you have kitty litter, then they don't have to worry about this track limit all the time.
Yes, drivers will adjust. They will do their jobs. When the, you know, it's so simple. You worry about track limits, make a limit. Don't give them pavement. Then they'll take, and you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. It's simplistic. I say we go back to the 40s and 50s with bales of hay and spectators really close to the track.
Oh my God. I think it was David Hobbs who once said about racing at Spa. He was racing there in a sports car event, and he said that he realized that there was a certain part of the track where he was going in front of a house, and the people were standing in outside the house, and he was like racing past few inches from them. We obviously cannot go back to those days. You know, my favorite on this is if you watch a Grand Prix from the 1930s, which is available on YouTube, at Donington, this is when I think Tazio Nuvolari was driving an Auto Union. You know, there's a lot of green grass there. The race is going on, okay? There is no hay bale, no Amco barriers, nothing. And a little distance away in the grass on a chair is a chap sitting and reading a newspaper.
You know who that was?
Fernando Alonso.
How did you know? That was Fernando in his camping chair.
Ah, the camping chair. Very true, very true. And talking of Fernando, which we do on the show every once in a while, he is now testing with the Toyota. And I just read that his teammate for the Dakar Rally, which you probably know will happen in Saudi Arabia this year, next year, January, I believe. His teammate will be, what's this guy's name? I think Eric Coma. Is that the guy who's the big Spanish guy who has won the Dakar Rally many times? So anyway, the last name is Coma, so he will be helping as a teammate to Fernando Alonso. I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be cool if Carlos Sainz was teammate to Fernando Alonso?
That would be great.
That would be like dos machismos de España.
Yes, and they could both stop for tapas.
Yes, very good. Yes. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out.
Well, I'm sure Fernando's going to win. There's no doubt.
Are you going to cry about no competition?
I'm not. There's plenty of competition.
No, this is not going to be easy just because the rally is so tough and demanding. And there will be a lot of hungry cats there, you know. I would love to see Robbie Gordon, man. I miss this guy in Dakar Rally.
Well, we can get Jimmy Johnson.
No, him and Stefan Peter Hensel. Minis is for girls. What a classic statement that was. And you were talking about Aldo Costa. I was very surprised. I thought, you know, maybe he'll go back to Ferrari or some other big team will pounce on him. But he's leaving and joining Dallara.
I know. Pretty weird, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, part of the reason is he wants to go back to Italia. And, you know, when Mr. Brazier and I some years ago went to the, at that time it was Braun, which is now the Mercedes factory racing team, and we saw Jenson Button drive away in his Mercedes there, apparently on his way to McLaren. Right next to, I mean, the racing team is basically walking distance, if I recall correctly, from a Tesco supermarket. So I don't think the spaghetti and Alfredo sauce and marinara sauce at Tesco was to the liking of Aldo Costa's taste. But you know what? They are saying that he will pretty much supervise the construction of the new IndyCar because, you know, all IndyCars are not construction, but design of the car. And as you know, IndyCars, all cars are supplied by Dallara. So it will be interesting to see how that thing works out.
Well, I'm happy for Mr. Costa. I think it's a good move. You know, he's had a long career. And you know what they say. You know, you get so tired of winning so much.
No, I don't think any winning and more money, I think that never gets old.
I just read that in the paper somewhere.
Yes. So anything else catches your fancy in motor racing this day and age, sir?
No, nothing. Everything's fine. A NASCAR legend died, but I can't remember his name. I
pretty sad. I was on my break when I saw that Mike Stefanik. I remember him when he was racing, and he was killed in a plane crash. And
correct.
Rhode Island or Connecticut. So that's pretty sad news.
It is sad news, and our condolences to the entire NASCAR world.
And you know, talking of tragedies, this American kid who was involved in the fatal accident to Antoine Hubert, Juan Manuel Correa, you know, his family, mom and dad, they have decided to give press releases to keep the fans aware of what is going on. You know, he was airlifted from Belgium to England, okay, and then apparently a few days ago he stopped breathing, so they have put him back in induced coma. So he's still in critical condition, but stable. And I just hope, you know, he can make a full recovery. And obviously at this stage, full recovery is priority one than thinking about going racing again. So I would like to wish him and his family all the best.
You're a good man, Nasser. Keep up the good work. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Wait a minute. We have famous last words before we say sayonara. According to Dr. Marco, Helmut Marco, Red Bull helped Niki Lauda in securing the services of Lewis Hamilton. And this is what he was quoted in one of the magazines or websites in Europe. Now, looking back, I think it would have been better if he stayed at McLaren. But at that time, McLaren was our biggest competitor. Some tactical mistakes sometimes have serious consequences. End of quote. No caca, Sherlock.
And now he's the luckiest man in the world.
You know what they say about luck, Mr. Rogers? You make your own luck.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. Indeed he has. But what he does is have trophy cases built.
Where? Compton or Stevenage or Monte Carlo?
Compton.
We shall see.
Exciting, isn't it?
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely.
So thanks for those famous last words. Like I was saying, sayonara.
Thank you. Sayonara. Bye-bye.